Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of GLEED 2024, where we discover the trailblazers and innovators shaping the future of garden care in the UK. So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
Right, welcome back to another episode of the Underground Podcast. This week, we're delighted to be joined by the GLEED Talent Store finalists. We've got Annie Gundry, Katrin Ellen-Jones, and Steve Chase. Welcome to the Underground.
Yeah, hi, good morning, guys.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Just to say that we are actually live from one of the garden centres that Katrin's working. So if you do hear any exciting noises or if Katrin starts shouting at people, it's not us. She is actually on the shop floor doing what she does best.
So maybe it's best if we kick off by just asking you guys just to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, well, good morning, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. My name's Steve Chase. I'm part of the British Garden Centres Group, so one of the sort of chain garden centres across the UK. I started life here as the goods in manager, but today I've branched out to looking after other areas of the garden centre. And I've been doing that for about 2.5 years now.
And Katrin, what about you?
So I've been here from Gough Garden Centre Northwest for 5 years. Started off as marketing. I've worked myself up to being a visual merchandise manager.
Excellent. And Annie, what about you?
So I'm at Playhatch Garden Centre, which is part of British Garden Centres. So Steve and I have sort of worked together before. I started about 4 years ago. I was a part-time till op. I then worked in as a goods in manager, so very much like Steve. And now I've sort of graduated to the shop manager. So yeah.
Right. And we should also mention, Annie, that you have a team member who can't be with us today, and that's Lucia Hopcroft. Is that right?
Yes.
And actually, just before we talk a little bit more, you are in a team together. So Steve and Katrin, you're in one team called Team Azalea. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Annie and Lucia, you're in Team Nemesia. So
yes,
you are two teams that are kind of competing against each other a little bit, aren't you?
Yes.
Right. Lovely. So you're all the finalists of the GLEED Talent Store. But for any of our listeners who aren't aware of what that is, could you give us a brief overview of what the Talent Store is?
My understanding of it is, I mean, I kind of got nominated. So I didn't know about this until somebody handed me a piece of paper and said, "Oh, I've nominated you for this." And then I read it. But my understanding of it is that there's 20 participants that get nominated to go and join what they refer to as the GLEED Talent Show. And that usually represents people that I think the garden centres themselves think may have, a future. And so you go there on the premise that you're going to learn about visual merchandising, which is probably quite an important skill in the retail area that we're in, and understanding how things are positioned and presented, which obviously the original or the core day that we went on, that was what it was about. But it was also priming you for what was to come, which was 6 months of homework, because basically we got nominated to obviously come up with a theme. The theme basically being something that they would then move on to present at the GLEE Talent Show in September. And so, yeah, the task was for the groups at the original training session to come up with a theme which would ultimately be presented or built at this show. And obviously it starts with 5 groups and it gets narrowed down to where we are today. So there's two groups now fighting for podium position.
So Katrin, can I just ask, when Steve's talking about you come up with a theme, what is it you actually have to do?
We sort of brainstormed a bit to begin with, sort of got all our ideas, our concepts, thinking what would be best suited for us as a team as well. And that's how we ended up coming up with our concept.
So Annie, for you, was it the same? You were nominated, and then do you choose a teammate or are you put in teams?
So we, like Steve, I was nominated, and we sort of went to the day together, and then we had a day of sort of learning about visual merchandising plant trends, and then obviously sort of given information about creating the pop-up of almost you could put this in a garden center and how would it help sell and, you know, engage with customers. And we were then split into teams of four with people from other garden centres. And then from there, we were split into outdoor plants and house plants. So Lucia and I were given house plants and Steve and Katrin, obviously, outdoor plants. So we're doing slightly different things. So I'm interested to hear what they're doing, actually. But yeah, and then we sort of went from there. So we kind of, the idea was to use what we'd learned from the day, pick up plant trends, pick up on visual merchandising trends, and incorporate that in with a focus on sort of sustainability. So encouraging us to repurpose items, recycle items, but almost I've sort of interpreted it as what I would love to see in a, you know, out there visual display in a garden center. You know, what could we use to help sell house plants and remarket them and change them in the eyes of a customer, you know, sort of, yeah.
Well, why don't we dig in a little bit more with that, Annie, and you can describe for us your pop-up concept.
So we sort of have come up, we've called it an urban oasis, and we loved some of the ideas of sort of that had been brought up on the day of like color theory. So we're doing the concept is it will be a urban space, like a living room, something you'd see in a city, you know, a small space, small flat space. Okay. And we're sort of redesigning it by almost incorporating plants and horticulture into the key design. So rather than wallpaper, and you'd have a living houseplant wall, and, you know, rather than a normal coffee table, we're having a coffee table repurposed from a fish tank.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be full of terrarium plants.
Okay.
And rather than lights, we're having hanging plants with lights coming out of them. So almost like mini lit chandelier sort of style. So it's really sort of taking that sort of living with house plants to a whole nother level. You know, you use them in your home, and urban spaces in particular, you know, they're a lot hotter than rural spaces. I think, you know, cities, I think they're on average you know, 3 or 5 degrees hotter. And house plants can be used to kind of, they can cool, they can insulate, they can soundproof. They're not just ornaments in your home. So we're trying to sort of market house plants to show their benefits. So we're focusing on air purifying plants, drought tolerant plants, obviously, given, you know, things are getting hotter, and just things that can a customer could incorporate into their home that can become part of their home rather than just something they're trying to keep alive, you know, and not kill, which often is the way with house plants. But yeah, something they can use themselves. And yeah.
Can I ask, Annie, are you targeting any specific demographic? Have you been told to, or is it just to kind of all customers that come into the garden centres?
It's sort of all customers. I mean, we weren't given a target demographic or anything. I think I think since COVID, and since working in garden centres since COVID, the demographic for houseplants has really grown. You know, we're seeing everybody get houseplants. I mean, they're a perfect gift, which is a big seller for them. But there's still a lot that customers are unsure of when it comes to houseplants. You know, the common care is, what do I do with it? How do I keep it alive? And so it's sort of incorporating easy ways to break this down for customers, you know, show them what loves humidity, what loves, you know, like less water and more drought tolerant conditions, what loves indirect sun, and making it fun. You know, we're having plants that customers can spritz with water and feel and smell. And so it's really tactile, so that they can walk through and really be immersed in the whole, you know, pop-up themselves. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, no pressure, Steve and Katrin, but if you can if you can tell us about your concept as well, that would be super.
Well, I don't know how it happened, but we're doing exactly the same.
I don't believe you.
Basically, we have focused more on a pet-friendly garden. So we have all the sustainability and but since COVID, there has been a rise of 62% of pet owners. It's gone massive, basically. So we thought, right, we'll try and focus more on that aspects of it. So we've gone with all the upcycling, like all the textures and the fields and whatnot to make it more of a pet-friendly, exciting, fun garden for your dogs.
And I, from my perspective, I'm a great believer in listening, and I've had so many customers when they come through the garden centre, the question they ask, is this pet-friendly? Right. And when you get asked a question like that multiple times, you begin to think, okay, there's something in this. You need to take it a bit more seriously. Mm-hmm. And so we got to the point where we realised, okay, people are looking for grass seed that's pet-friendly because they're letting their dogs out all the time. They're looking for fertilisers that are pet-friendly mm-hmm. because they're letting their dogs out all the time. You know, they're looking for pest control that's dog-friendly because they're letting their dogs out all the time. So the question kept coming up, and you suddenly realise, well, hang on a second, actually there's a lot of dog owners out there now, or pets in general, where they don't want to restrict their pets from going in the garden. Mm-hmm. But everything from plants to fertilisers to looking at it from an environmental perspective as well, you know, it seemed to suggest that there was an interest from the public in understanding what constitutes a pet-friendly environment. Yeah. So suddenly when you sat down and you actually research it, it's quite an important topic, and a lot of people are taking it quite seriously. So, yeah, we will have, for example, we've upcycled watering cans, and I'm using the word upcycle because from a sustainability point of view, we're looking at how we can give longevity to other items right. before they actually go in the bin and become waste. So we're upcycling it in the first instance. So, for example, there'll be watering cans that are upcycled to be planters. There'll be a dog kennel, which we've built an alpine rock garden on the top of. We've kind of repurposed that for that sort of thing. There'll be a pallet wall for growing herbs, because we're recycling the pallets mm-hmm. or upcycling. I'm using the term upcycling because we're reusing them at the moment, yeah. but all of those things can also go on to a recycling life later on if necessary. Yeah. So we all know that, you know, really the future is trying to keep everything alive for as long as possible and reduce our demand on virgin resources, you know, across the country. So yeah, anybody coming to the stand will get to have fun elements, because there's going to be like a dog treat wall and a licky wall and lots of things there for the dog to participate in. The wall design and the prints and everything are all on there. But the main concept is for people to come in and go away thinking, okay, I have a better idea of how I can actually build my garden and not have to restrict my pets from being in there.
I suppose also for that concept, Katrin, you can do lots of selling of other merchandise as well, isn't it? So you're not just looking at plant feed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil, you were going to say something.
That's exactly what I was going to ask about what the opportunities were for you that you're taking advantage of with the different types of products.
Yeah, well, obviously if we look at it from a plant point of view, we know that we can use lavenders, marigolds, sunflowers as examples, roses, these things that the alpine garden will be, you know, again, all examples of plants that you can use around your garden and not interfere with your pet. But at the same time, obviously, it's not just about plants in the garden. We'll have grass that is considered hard wearing. It can withstand, you know, dog wee. You know, as I say, you'll be upcycling other stuff that you might have used in the garden already. But it's all things that people buy on a regular basis to upkeep their gardens, but probably don't think about the consequence of if they're, you know, if they just buy and use.
The really important question for me, though, is will there be any puppies on your garden on the day?
Graphics.
I guess we're going to have to now.
Yeah. I'm afraid that'll win it for you. Cute puppies, that's it every time.
Always a winner.
So, Annie, we heard that you were potentially nominated to take part. Can you tell us what it was about the competition that attracted you to it, made you say yes, you'd be willing to take part?
Well, I suppose when sort of initially, you know, we sort of went into it not with the full picture, but for me, it was the draw that it's really getting stuck into the industry. This was the whole thing about it, you know, even when we didn't know a lot of information, you know, it'll be amazing to see, you know, and go to Glee and experience that. And I've come into this role, you know, this is my first role in sort of the industry. Mm-hmm. So I still class myself as fairly new to it. Mm-hmm. I do feel like you can be in your own little bubble of your garden centre. You know, you're going along doing your thing. So it was just the draw that we can interact with and learn so much more from the industry as a whole. And yeah. going to the day, you know, sort of sealed the deal, really. Learning about plant trends and visual merchandising techniques, you know, that we've been able to sort of try and incorporate into our own center, and just really get stuck in a way that you've not been able to before. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you're able to flex some creative muscles and learn new skills, which is great. But just try something that, you know, we're quite a small center, so right. our displays are often slightly, you know, few and far between just because of space. So right. to be able to do something where you're just given free rein almost to go, you know, think up your wildest thing you can do and go and do it, is really exciting, you know. Yeah. Sort of, we've not really had restrictions, so yeah, it's been great.
Oh, wonderful. And also you had industry mentors that came to speak with you, and one of them was Debbie Flowerday. So what was she talking to you about, and yeah. how did she help you, Annie?
So, I mean, Debbie's been great. Her focus was sort of teaching us visual merchandising, right. Because, you know, not all of us have come from that background. Obviously, mm. I've come sort of along the goods in route, which is very much just boxes and and organizing. So it's very different. So, you know, on the day we did a few visual merchandising exercises, and she talked us through color palettes and color trends for the year, which is something we've tried to incorporate in our store. So we've gone for like greens and oranges to sort of create walls that pop, you know, to appeal to customers. And she also talked us through, you know, creating shapes and using the stock to, you know, really work for you. You know, so keeping it minimal, but that's what's effective. I think, you know, there's so much stock in a garden center, it can be really easy to just throw everything at a display, yeah. and it mm-hmm. and then you're like, whoa, this is too much. No wonder nobody's bought anything, because where would you start? So keeping it minimal, yeah. And when we had our follow-up call to talk through our plan, you know, it was helping give us the confidence to further our ideas, you know, go big with your displays, you know, have a chair full of plants, you know, or yes, nobody can sit on it, but that's the whole point. It's, you know, in your wildest dreams, what would you do? Yeah. So it's been really interesting to just sort of have somebody push your ideas and, you know, really help you get to grips with concepts that are still relatively new, I feel like, in certain garden centres, you know, especially where we haven't got the space to do yeah. that. It's been great to pick up tips on how we can do that and further, you know, improve the business and ourselves. Yeah.
Lovely. So, Katrin, we've just heard about Debbie Flowerday. So your industry expert was Michael Perry, Mr. Plant Geek. What did he talk to you about, and how useful was his input?
So he's obviously very out there with his social media posts. So we were all just talking about all the trends and what's new, what's at the moment, basically. Giving us all like inspiring ideas, concepts. Spoke about all what would be interesting. Yeah, that's it, basically.
So there was Debbie and Michael. But I gather there are other people who've been involved as well. So like Boyd Douglas Davis has been involved. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the three of them together represent an experience around what they're doing. So, you know, Boyd's obviously part, historically, I think if I remember right, he was part of British Garden Centres at one point. So he's got history and experience in how, you know, a garden centre chain works, I guess. So what you've got with the three of them is wisdom. I mean, what you should see is in our goods in now, all my boxes are different colours. They're all stacked nice and neatly, and I've got plants around all of them. Simply because what we gained from them was things that if you're not from the industry, you've learned. Mm. And that was what was going there for, really, was to add to what we've already been doing in our own centres, is to take it to the next level and to have the three of them and the history and wisdom that they've got in doing this in previous years, but also having garden centre experience historically, you know, that added a lot to what we learned.
also gave you a bit of confidence as well, just to push yourselves just that little bit further as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So 20 of you started the process and the numbers being whittled down. So what have the judges, what have they been looking for, do you think?
I think someone that's got passion, really, and that's fired and is ready and driven. Crack on with the project.
Yeah, and I think they were looking to obviously see if we've taken on board what we've learned. I mean, Debbie was very colourful. It was colours, you know, so she wanted us to integrate colour as much as possible. So I think we've had to obviously recognise that. You know, we learned about how we should position things in a display, you know, within our themes, how we've positioned all of that. And obviously, you know, taken away the knowledge that they've shared and then obviously applied it to a theme, and then they've obviously gone away and decided, you know, does this represent what we would like to see on our stand and to represent us? And I guess that's why we're here.
Can I just say though that Debbie's name, I mean, she has to be into colour, doesn't she? I mean, Flower Day, that's just wonderful. I'm so jealous.
I know, she was equally colourful as well in person.
Oh, was she? Oh, wonderful. No, I've not met her.
Yeah.
We'll have
Debbie
to
Cactus on. Doesn't sound the same, does it?
It really doesn't.
Bit of a spiky personality. So, Annie, what's been the most enjoyable aspect of the whole competition for you?
I think sort of almost seeing it come to life and to fruition. You know, it was great to design it and talk with, you know, the other girls that were in the team, and really sort of flex some creative muscles, which was great. You know, we kind of obviously see our idea evolve has been really interesting. It didn't initially start out as we're doing a palette wall as well, but you know, it didn't initially start out as that, but then looking into concepts and educating yourself around how you can use everyday items to be more sustainable, it's been really fun actually, because it's shifted how you look at things. For me, you know, a key thing for me is sort of putting the customer first. How are they going to view what I'm doing? Is it easy for them to shop? You know, are the messages that are coming across clear? And so seeing it from a customer perspective as well and making that really immersive has been really enjoyable, because we've been able to tap into so many different areas. You know, it's not just plants, it's, you know, resources, it's stock that we're using, and feeling it come to life. You know, we obviously were looking at build elevations and things and coming up with a product and plant list, and you're sort of shopping for your plants and, you know, putting it all on your list and shopping for your products and, you know, furniture. And it's been really exciting to sort of, you're like, oh my gosh, it's really happening. You know, we're really going to see it come to fruition. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been quite cool.
So obviously anybody who's coming to Glee, they're going to be able to see your pop-ups at the show, which is going to be fantastic. Have you actually built it yet? Or is it still in concept stage and in boxes?
It's still in the making. I've got some plants set aside in our goods inn that I'm keeping watered and fed every day that I'm hoping will make it. It almost feels like a mini Chelsea, you know, trying to keep your plants alive. They're like my little baby. I can't let them die. So, yeah, it's still in fruition. Lucia is also sourcing our fish tank, you know, and she's been sort of taken lead on some of the marketing that we're doing. So we're having signs that say, touch me, you know, smell me. And we're going to also be making videos that a customer can scan a QR code and they can get a video on how to care for a houseplant. So, you know, we're sort of still creating at the moment. But yes, and then we'll go on the day before Glee, where we then assemble it all. So we're given a whole day.
So you're there on the Monday?
Yes, on the Monday. So to turn it into, you know, an empty stand into the sort of the concept that, you know, we want it to be. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. And so have you been able to bring back to your store some of these visual merchandising techniques and the other things that you've learned? Have you been able to bring those back and actually implement them within your own store?
it's definitely something, you know, I've been actively trying to do. It's like almost how Steve was sort of talking about how people ask about pets a lot. Houseplants are often, I mean, one of the most like common questions is this, what can I have in my home that's safe for, you know, that my dog won't eat, that my cat won't eat? Yeah. You know, and that's something that we've been looking at is, you know, creating almost a table in our houseplant section dedicated to pet friendly plants, mm-hmm. you know, that break that down. And, yeah. you know, we've also, Michael Perry talked about having on, you know, in certain garden centers around the world, they categorize their plants by color. And so you get this gorgeous, mm-hmm. like almost ombre effect, yes, you know, bringing that into our houseplant section. Mm-hmm. And how Debbie was talking about minimal, but, you know, repetition, we've been using that in our giftware to sort of pare back the displays and make it more shoppable for customers. So it has been, it's been good to sort of, you know, keep doing those things that we were sort of taught and advised on the day. And, you know, so that we've kind of can just, you know, further our skills in that. And especially, I don't know about, I imagine Steve's the same, but we're starting to prepare for Christmas already. Yeah. So, you know, thinking about that and how we can use those, you know, advices, you know, advice that we were given in our Christmas displays, you know, so yeah, it's been really good to have this almost little bank of knowledge that we can just constantly go back to and refer to, you know, it's been really helpful.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, Steve, you've been talking about sustainability. So there was a keen focus on sustainability in the competition. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that and how it related to what you and Katrine have been doing?
Yeah, I think obviously, as I alluded to earlier, what we've tried to do is build the environment around upcycling as many items as we can. I mean, we're, you know, sustainability is sort of a word that gets used quite frequently and it has a number of meanings. It can affect the environment, it can affect the economy, it can affect social behaviour. But ultimately, I think we've taken it from an environmental standpoint where we've said, how can we create this garden with a pet friendly environment, but at the same time upcycle as much as possible so that you're not actually going out and, you know, there's stuff lying around in your own home that you might be able to reuse already just to create part of the environment. And as I say, we alluded to the fact that we'll reuse metal watering cans, for example, which can be turned into planters, fill them in compost, put the relevant plant-friendly plant in there, and now you've got a nice little display that can sit there and looks like it should be part of the garden because it's a watering can. But later down the line, if you ever wanted to dispose of that watering can, it's metal, so you can recycle it. Same with the pallet wall. You know, we're using or reusing old pallets that are probably no longer useful in the service that they were. We've built little troughs into the bottom of those pallets so that we can create a herb garden. You know, the herbs themselves are pet friendly. The pallet wall can be utilized for that purpose and then reutilized later down the line. And the same with the dog kennel. We've kind of taken a dog kennel and we're sort of using that as a secondhand scenario, but then we're turning that into a rock garden, so there'll be some carpentry going on somewhere along the line. but you know, again, it's just to set that environment. And then obviously there'll be a display of products that are considered pet friendly. There'll be a, you know, but again with an emphasis on can you recycle the bottles and things like that. It's all about trying to create an environment that is forever.
Can I just ask, Steve, has that come from you or has that come from the competition? Was that one of the kind of remits? It has to be, you have to incorporate sustainability into your concepts.
No, it was part of the competition, but I think it's part of life in general for everybody now. I think, you know, we're living in a time when everybody is being pushed towards thinking that way. It's not a light switch moment. We can't just switch a light on the wall and go from what we've been doing to what we need to do. But we do need to start thinking about how we integrate that into different scenarios in our lives. And I think since COVID, you know, I've seen people reduce their traveling. They're coming home to work. They're spending more time in that environment. They're investing more in their homes. And at the end of the day, that will also be sitting in the garden in the summer with their laptops, with their pets. You know, doing those kind of things. I should be popping into Annie's Goods Inn to take that table of houseplants by the sounds of it.
Got to make sure I keep it locked then, yeah. Keep my eye out for you. I know.
So yeah, it's you know, it was a group thing. They all wanted to incorporate that as part of the theme.
great. So can I ask, how have you found it being part of a team? Were you inspired by each other's ideas or did you fight each other?
I think from my perspective, I was quite proud of the fact that we came up with an idea and very quickly everybody was on board with that idea. Right. And what we actually found was one of our members was very good with the plants. So we got the plant knowledge immediately. You know, they straight away knew what kind of plants we could have in terms of
strengths, didn't we? But it was quite inspiring seeing everyone else's ideas.
Yeah. And then we had one member that was able to take everything that we were thinking and saying, and then they suddenly do a drawing, you know, could it look like this? Brilliant. And so we've got the kind of drawn out draft of it. Catherine was absolutely superb in putting all of that together into a presentation. So the presentations that we presented, she put the effort and time into doing that. You know, so yeah, I think it's true to say that we have got to this point as a team.
Yeah.
We hope to cross the line as a team. And, it wouldn't be possible without that shared knowledge. Yeah. And that includes the Glee team as well.
Great. And would that be the same with you, Annie? I mean, I know Lucia can't speak for you, but would you say that's the same?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the fish tank coffee idea came from Lucia, you know, from the get-go on the day when we were there and sort of brainstorming. Yeah. And a lot of our ideas originated from that sort of 45 minutes that we had to kind of come together as a team. And we just, you know, almost spitballed these ideas onto a page. Lucia is more well-versed with houseplants than I am. So, you know, we had another team member as well sort of take point on that. And we, as part of our presentation, we had a plant list. And I sort of pulled together a bit of a presentation and we did a sort of 3D render of the build layout with our design implemented into it.
Fantastic.
But it very much was, you know, everybody contributed different aspects to it, you know, oh, could we add this in? And what if we did that? And the palette wall idea, you know, that came from, we presented a mood board as part of our presentation. And through sourcing that then, you know, sort of that's where our palette wall idea originated from, somebody doing their mood board research. So it's all very much collaborative, you know, it's an accumulation of multiple ideas, you know, and also in the build of it, you know, there's one person can't do it at all. You know, it's far too much. So obviously, yeah. You know, Lucia is taking point on the marketing and sourcing some of the materials. I've been able to source some extra house plants. So it is really a group effort. And also, you know, the Glee team as well, they've been great in helping us get our things to the NEC, and also, you know, helping us go through our suppliers and go through our plans and make sure that it can come to life, you know, that it's practical at the same time and that it is doable. You know, I can build to a degree, but it's not my expertise. So it's making sure that the things we'd love to do, we can actually create. We weren't, so to speak, given a budget. I mean, obviously, the focus on sustainability is to repurpose as many things as possible. So we've repurposed a lot of items that we're going to be using later on down the line in our Christmas department. So cabinets, chairs, tables, all of that. Bird cages for lanterns, I'm bringing up to the NEC myself.
Right.
So that, you know, the only things we've, really had to ask for are more sort of house plants, you know, things that ideally would be better to get there on the day, you know, for us. Obviously, I've brought certain house plants I can, but I mean, for planters and pots, you know, we're going to be using like Hessian to sort of make some plant pots and things. And because there is a focus on sustainability, I've found we've been able to pare back our sort of costs, hopefully. I'd hope the Glee team would agree, but I don't know. You know, obviously we're repurposing a fish tank rather than having a coffee table. So, and obviously we're using pallets, which we've been able to source from the garden centre ourselves. So we sort of juggled it with the essentials and then the things you know you can repurpose, which is why, you know, it's been great that sustainability is a focus, because a lot of our things aren't brand new. They look well loved and they are well loved, you know, and they will go on to have a life after Glee as well. I'll be bringing them back. We'll be using them in our Christmas department. And we've actually talked about incorporating part of our Glee display into our houseplant section, kind of, you know, honour that. Yeah. So, you know, they will have a life after Glee as well, which will be nice. It's nice to know, you know, they're not just going to get thrown away. So, yeah.
Annie, you're so organised. I'm really hoping that Facebook Marketplace just delivers on the day and takes it off.
Great. Well, I think you guys have done amazingly well. You started off with 20 people, down to the final four, two teams of two. Is it an individual who's going to win the competition, or is it the team? And does it feel like a competition at all, or is there like some great camaraderie between you all?
Well, it's definitely a team. There's no question about that, because we wouldn't have got to where we are without the input of a team, both our own local team and the wider team. But I misunderstood it to start with, because I thought we'd win before we went. I didn't even know we were going to be judged on the day.
Right.
So, you know, it was actually, it kind of came out that, oh no, it actually gets done on the day. And then I was like, oops. So, to be fair, I misunderstood that in the first instance. But obviously, it's been a fun process all the way through. It's, you know, whatever happens, it was fun to be involved in it. Yes, it was absolutely a team thing. And obviously, we learned a lot of new faces and a lot of new education and voices along the way. And on the day, we'll be there and meeting another load of new people, both customers, people that are from the other side of the industry. So it's all about shaking hands, pressing the flesh, as they say, and, you know, getting to know people.
Designing it was great, but it's sort of a win to just go and build it. You know, it's something that you're not really going to get to do in any other chance, you know. And so even to just build it and see it come to life is sort of a win on its own, you know. And obviously, I've got to shout out to sort of the wider teams, you know, especially in like British Garden Centres. They've been amazing with helping like logistically, you know, obviously sourcing, you know, transport and things is great. So it's definitely collaborative, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So I was just going to ask you whether you've all been to Glee before.
No, first time.
No, first time.
Oh, wow.
Depending on how it goes, they may say it's a lost.
So I hope you've been listening to our Glee Survival Tips episode on the podcast. So if you've not been, that's a good one to listen to when so many of our guests give you lots of insights on how to cope with Glee and how to get the most out of it. So just a little plug there, but it's worth listening to if you've never been before, definitely.
So if our listeners are coming along to Glee, what can they expect to see from the two teams? And when are the winners actually going to be announced?
My understanding was there's a Q&A on the day in the afternoon, I think around 4, and then the winners are announced then. I think the winners are chosen, I was told, through they vote on a QR code after they've gone through each pop-up of which they prefer. But I suppose on the day, you know, Lucia and I will be there talking people through the store. Obviously, there's sort of a route to... You know, they can walk through it. We'll be encouraging them to sort of interact with the display as much as possible, you know, and we've got a few like leaflets with some information sort of about houseplants. So hopefully they can also take away ideas, you know, if they come from a garden centre or ideas that they can use, you know, in their own sort of industry or, you know, just tips and things like that. You know, we're grouping our houseplants together by benefits. So, you know, air purification, things like that. So just, you know, sort of a bit of maybe inspiration or just, you know, they've had an enjoyable time walking through it. It is an immersive experience. It's meant to be an immersive experience. So, you know, even if they just take away that they've kind of, you know, been able to walk through a tranquil space and take things back to their own home, ideas into their own home, that would be great, you know.
So can I ask, when you say they, does anybody who's visiting get a chance to vote, or is it just the team of judges?
I was under the understanding it was anyone walking through the concept, but visiting. I don't know. Yeah.
Is that your understanding, Steve?
Yeah, because I'm going to be running around the whole show asking people to vote for me. Giving out free doggy treats and all that sort of stuff.
Campaign.
I love a good bone.
Again, I suspect it will all be judged effectively on what we've learned from the experience that we've had over the last 6 months and how we've applied that to the themes that we've got. But I mean, obviously, anybody that comes and visits our stand, whether it be members of the industry, members of the general public. You know, the aim is you don't have to go into the next garden centre and ask the question, is this pet friendly? The aim is you should, you know, you'll gain some education on things that you can use around your garden. And we just try and enable you as yourself to shop more in key with what would work in a garden for someone who has pets.
So what would you say to anyone thinking about entering the talent store next year?
Do it.
You've got nothing to lose. It's a massive experience. At the end of the day, you know, you meet lots of new people, you get to exercise ideas, you get to learn more about the industry that you're in, particularly if you're a starter. I mean, obviously, if you're home, you know, if you've been in the industry for many, many years, you're probably quite seasoned anyway. But for those that go on this type of program, I think they're likely to be people that are either young and new to the industry, or like me, old and new to the industry. But either way, you know, you've got a lot to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know that networking is an important part of business life. Mm-hmm. If you know, and it is a business. I know it's fun, but it's also a business.
Yeah.
And meeting new people, nothing can be done on your own. So your own growth and development will come from being involved in something like this.
That's definitely super. Yeah. That's a lovely way to round that up, I think.
Yeah. Well, Steve, yeah, Katrin, yeah, Annie, and obviously Lucia wasn't here, but thank you so much for taking part. We really do wish you all the best for the judging on the Tuesday. Hope the stand build goes really, really well. All the best. And thank you so much for taking part.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, good luck, everyone.
Do come and say hi to us and we'll see the stands in reality. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.
Well, what lovely people and what a great competition they've been part of.
It just sounds incredible, doesn't it? What a really good thing to do for younger or new starters in the industry, you know, really kind of flexing your creativity, but also everything they've learned can then be taken back to where they're working.
It makes them a real asset at their stores back home.
Absolutely. You can totally understand why you would nominate somebody, because, you know, even if you don't get through to the final two, just competing and just being part of it is going to just do, you know, nothing but encourage creativity and visual merchandising.
Yeah, I think it just opens up your eyes, you know, much more than just putting things out on a bench for people to see. It sort of says, oh, actually, if we dress this well, make it look engaging and inspiring, people are going to take ideas and take them home and then implement them at their home. So they'll come see these fantastic displays and go, I can do that. They're not going to look at that display and go, I'll do everything. Yeah. Well, they might go, what a brilliant idea. I could make a terrarium out of a fish tank.
Yeah, you know,
and use that as a coffee table.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it makes a garden centre more of a destination as well, doesn't it? Not just somewhere to go and buy.
Absolutely.
But again, it just reinforces what all our guests have been saying is about how friendly this industry is, you know, and how much people want to work together and learn from each other. And there's a little bit of friendly rivalry, but not a lot. And just people want to talk to each other and share their knowledge. So I just love that about this industry.
I do too. And do you know what, Kate? I cannot wait to go and see both of these concepts. They both sound amazing.
They really do. Really exciting. Yeah, so I am looking forward to that. And to be honest, I don't really remember much about the talent store from last year. So it's really good for me that that we're highlighting it, because I think for a lot of people, it can sometimes get forgotten about. So, so those people listening, do go along and see and support these guys, because they've really put a lot of effort, as you can tell.
Oh, heart and soul.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, really looking forward to it. And also the Q&As on the Tuesday. I'll be there.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, take care, Kate.
And you, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm.
I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at writeobara.com.